bunny back in the box.
To that I say, all right, all right, all right.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
My God.
I don't give out too many special treats, but this morning we have a very special treat.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Smoke, not an issue. Not an issue here on the West Coast, by and large. That Alberta fire, we dealt with that 2 weeks ago. So this stuff on the East Coast is so 2 weeks ago. May get 25% chance of rain tomorrow. And I feel like some rain would be a nice change from all this annoying good weather. Not a lot of lead in the air down in Skyway. Now, remind me, where's producer Greg is here. And we just learned about Olympic Hills. Maybe you call it Lake Forest. A couple days ago. Which one is Skyway?
Isn't that sounds down, like it's near Renton.
Yeah, am I thinking close to Burien? Shooting of two at an apartment complex, are leaving two injured. King County Sheriff's Office is investigating. If there's more to that, we'll get to that. And so it's a day after the Seattle City Council rejected by 5-4 the common sense gross misdemeanor charge for drug possession and usage, and full well knowing that it is fentanyl and all that. This coming on the same day that Portland banned outdoor camping. so there's that. The mayor, who's not part of the city council process, is chiming in saying that he wants to create drug enforcement plans consistent with the state's new law, and more on that. The main deal is that the Mariners lost to the Padres 10-3. So that's it. They're going to lose this road, or have they already lost it? Did they lose all three games to the Padres?
I just know they've been losing a lot lately and giving up lots of hits and runs. 17 hits by the Fathers last night.
Off who?
George Kirby gave up a lot of those hits.
Winning 10-3. I did watch NBA Game 3, and it was...
Why, though? Come on, Brian.
I got to say, I do like that Nikola Jokic. I wish they'd stop calling him the Joker, because he doesn't joke around a lot, and it's a soft J. It's Jokic. It's not... He's not the Joker, but that would be more consistent. So two, including Jokic, two of your Denver Nuggets had triple-doubles. And every game in the NBA playoffs, I mean, this is what's how amazing this guy is. And it's too bad he's kind of wasted on this era of the NBA, that the old NBA fan gave up on him years ago. But he has 10 triple-doubles in this playoff run. And what's really funny about him is that clearly, he frustrates the other team because there's just no way that went in. Every time he throws a ball up, it's guys are breaking back toward the other basket because they're like, surely we have that rebound. Oh, it went in. Anyway, just to rub it in.
High drive to deep left center field off the bat of Sanchez. It is back. It is gone. Gary Sanchez with a three-run home run puts the Padres on top 4-0.
Nikola Jokic is even hitting home runs. I mean, now at this point.
We like sports, so we don't care who knows.
Football, football, tennis, hockey, golf. So a all caps screed by Trump overnight. Saying that absorbing the information that he most likely will be indicted on the federal charges of obstruction because of moving the documents around on Mar-a-Lago. There's video of it. And this is after he said, you've got everything. We gave you everything. And that's when the search warrant was executed and the whole thing, and they found more stuff. And so the obstruction sounds like the grand jury in Florida, you know, has enough of that. And judging by Trump's response overnight on his True Social, two truths, what do you call them? Tweet truths or whatever. Two messages. He implied that a federal prosecutor tried to bribe a witness. And then some other things where he's calling, he's sort of in very random broad strokes, calling for people to rise up. And if he's calling for violence against the federal prosecutor, he probably should think twice about that. And Chris Christie is, I hadn't thought of this term, but Van Jones, I think he's on CNN now, right? Who can either be really insightful or really stupid. He labeled it a kamikaze campaign. And this is where, you know, the mystery of how does he get on the debate stage? Who writes him checks to do that?
Of all the legal jeopardies and all the different prosecutors are looking at him, the most dangerous prosecutor for him right now is Chris Christie. Because Chris Christie can say whatever he wants to. He has nothing to lose. He is like 0% chance of winning. And he is a household name. So if he continues to do what he's doing, he's not going to get the nomination. But you finally have somebody in this race that's not scared of Donald Trump. And so you might have a big kamikaze candidate right now, which is what I would say Chris Christie is likely to be. Chris Kamikaze Christie.
Very clever. And, okay, I'm jealous I didn't think of it. But that being said, you got to be on that debate stage or it doesn't matter. Yeah, you have to have the donations. You have to be a serious candidate.
Well, and I know kamikazes, historically speaking, are solo flights, but could Pence also
one-way
be
solo
deemed,
flights?
Yeah, there you go. Could an explosive. Is Pence also a kamikaze candidate? Because he and Christie are trying to form kind of a 1-2 punch here against the former president.
I believe that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. And anyone who asks someone else to put them over the Constitution should never be president of the United States again.
But will any of this stick?
Look, Mike, this isn't rock, paper, scissors with the Constitution. And scissors cuts the Constitution, but the Constitution wraps up the rock. So you don't put it over it.
And if you remember, Brian, in 2015...
But notice that Pence is treading that fine line between my former running mate and all that.
He's becoming more aggressive, though.
And the other sort of rock in the hard place, the Scylla and the Charybdis of this, is... To be on the GOP, any of their official debate stages, you have to take the pledge that you will support the nominee. And so they were asking Pence, they were trying to pin him down on what if that was Donald Trump? Well, and his answer is the same. Well, let's just hope the American people make a different choice or whatever. Well, okay, right. But what if? And so that's the other thing is that you're not going to be on that stage. You can't have that Christie Trump or Trump on Christie
action
match that hot Christie on Trump action unless they're on the same stage. Trump mocked Chris Christie with an animation overlay of Christie holding a platter of delicious pork products, probably from which will probably get him elected in Iowa.
I miss the old country buffet.
Oh, and ever been to a Cracker Barrel?
No,
those are. That's a very Midwest thing.
What's your go-to at the Cracker Barrel?
The food. Back in the day when I would burn it off every morning at 5 a.m., me and my best S through Z friends, the mashed potatoes, man, those are such a win. You add the garlic, you add the butter.
Butterlicious.
Oh, and then, of course, top it off with salt, mix it all up. But anyway, here's Chris Christie mocking Trump's mocking.
So Trump last night, in response to you running, ran a rather mocking video on social media. There it is. It's you. I guess he's making fun of your weight. That's his.
We're going to be small.
That's his response. What did you make of that? What was your response to that?
You know, when I saw Jake, it just renewed in my own mind what a child he is. He's a baby. Whenever you want to criticize him in any way, that's the way he responds. And you and I are both lucky enough to be parents. And if we had a child who conducted themselves like that, we'd send them to their room, not to the White House. He is such a spoiled baby that... You know, if we want to break news here today,
what?
I've struggled with my weight for about 20 years, like tens of millions of Americans.
The devil, you said.
Right, exactly.
So you get the tone. I hadn't heard this. John Roberts, a Canadian, an anchor on Fox News, and there's, oh, you like this? Oh, sure, there's no fat people in Canada.
He also got in on the fat jokes.
Yeah, so I missed this, but here's...
To use a modification of a metaphor that we were using in the panel earlier today, it's like you have two milkshakes, right? The Republican Party is two milkshakes. And this one, representing almost half the party, because that's what the polling shows, has got one straw in it, and that's Donald Trump's straw, right? And the other milkshake, which represents the non-Donald Trump part of the Republican Party, has how many straws in it now? And now we're going to have Chris Christie's straw there. And judging by Chris Christie's physical stature, he could drink a lot of that milkshake if he wanted to.
Oh, but you're not. Did not. I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
Not a great movie. So he had to roll it back a bit, which is, come on. I mean, I don't think this came from Christie. It probably came from a producer.
He's body shaming Brian.
Yeah, but
a modification of a metaphor that was
a mockery of a travesty.
They're using in the panel earlier today. It's like you have two milk.
Oh wait, I already played that. So here he is, apologizing.
Hey, before we go on, I just want to take a moment to address something because I really do feel terrible about it. Earlier on the show, I was making an analogy to describe the Republican voter pool. And I made a comment that I meant to be lighthearted, but immediately realized was hurtful to Senator Chris Christie. I should not have said what I said. I deeply regret it, and I sincerely apologize.
But he was talking to the camera, though, right? He didn't have Christie there.
No,
because Christie would have corrected him and said, "Yeah, I would drink the entire milkshake. And look at me."
I'll speak for Fatty McFattersons everywhere and say, you know, us more portly gentlemen have thick skin, literally and figuratively. I can say it.
Now apologize.
I'm overweight, Brian. I'm overweight. I could joke about us.
There Will Be Blood, underrated film. Genius of a film.
You just said it was overrated.
No. It's a great film.
All right. One of Daniel Day-Lewis's greatest performances.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you think, why would an actor retire? Well, if you're Daniel Day-Lewis, have I ever struck out? I've hit nothing but home runs. I'm walking away.
P.T. Anderson said he had the title of the film before he wrote it, and so he realized, if I'm going to call it There Will Be Blood, I should actually put some blood in this movie.
Yeah.
Hence the last scene.
Great last scene. If you haven't seen it, see it. And so enough about fatness and politicians. Let's do Know It All.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know It All. First thing.
So there hadn't been a lot about this in the U.S., but an Air India flight from India's air to America, probably filled with a majority of American citizens or, you know, legal immigrants, had to go down for engine trouble in eastern Russia, in Magadan, to be specific. And so don't anyone, you know, of course the Russians come on board and they take a census of who's who and what's what, and they find a plane full of Americans. And they call the FSB and say, who do we still have in jail in America? And they're like, we're looking. We got no one. And so the Russians said, all right, you can bring a replacement plane and fly them on to San Francisco. So off they go, maybe, if the plane gets there. But that's almost like how it went.
We have a beat 777-200 that is taking off at 1,300 hours. So it must be in the air. Must be in the air just now. It's a six and a half hour flying time to Magadan, and it will land there and at the earliest.
So there you go. So they're gonna fly on to San Francisco, and I'm assuming. I mean, no airliner lands in Russia without Russian authorities coming on board, checking everyone's passport, because you might be wanted. You might be a dissident who's thinking, well, I'm gonna fly over Russia. And I'm going to use that aerial toilet and they'll see where that falls and, you know, whatever. I just don't think there's any way they didn't know the plane was full of American citizens. And then on my way out of Russian airspace, a pilot would come on and say, ha ha, we're mostly Americans. So good luck with your WNBA season, bro, or whatever. But I think it reflects that the Russians want to maintain good relations with India. That this is one time, because, you know, again, it is all transactional with them, but this is one time that they would, and there's still thousands of Americans in Russia. They just don't have name value and all that. Thing two.
Second thing.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, said to be sweaty and red-like by some, visited Kherson in the southern Dnipro River, which has been swamped by the earlier destruction of that major dam in Russian-occupied Ukraine. While Russian officials claim to have withstood an attempt by Kyiv's military to break through Russian fortifications further east, Telegram video would suggest otherwise. But a Russian military blogger, a prominent viewer of stuff and junk said that, yes, Ukraine's counteroffensive has been on for about 4 or 5 days. He'd be correct. Now, the Ukrainian military has launched a long-anticipated counterattack against occupying Russian forces, opening a crucial phase in the war, according to this chap who is monitoring Telegram. And Telegram is a Russian app. I'm continually amazed on what they allow on there, which is, by the way, everything. Spoiler. But maybe if there's someone in Russia who's using open source intelligence, as they say, to track Ukrainian progress or intent in the war, that's the place to do it. The Russians are crowing quite a bit because they now finally have footage of destroyed American equipment, the American MRAP modified vehicles, the MATV, as it's called, the big, tall, super clearance, giant tired personnel carrier, the one from International and the rest. Anyway, they're rolled over and they're burned out because guess what? They're not bulletproof. And it's not like we didn't leave thousands of them in Afghanistan anyway. So it looks like the Taliban have invaded Russia. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian-backed Russian Freedom Legion is still physically holding territory in Russia, interrogating Russian military prisoners who are reporting to the camera, oh, yeah, we were supposed to go defend Donetsk or whatever, and they diverted us up here. And then they're processed back into Ukraine as regular POWs. So there's a second front, I guess you could call it. Anyway, thing three.
Third thing.
Virginia Mason, this is a thing that's been ongoing. This would be ongoing third thing. Virginia Mason has confirmed two additional deaths among patients who became infected after a bacterial outbreak emerged last fall. So the outbreak caused by the Klebsiella pneumonia bacteria has infected at least 33 people, 9 of whom have died, the hospital said in an update Wednesday. And in a follow-up, though I said I would do my due diligence and try to find out how many people died by infection last year in hospitals, because, spoiler, it's a large number. I didn't. I did not do my due diligence. I just did my diligence. So I haven't found out. But it's a lot. I can tell you that. Thing four already.
Fourth thing.
All right. So, yeah, what about this here live hypocrisy? The PGA commissioner owned it. And he said, sorry, I'm a giant hypocrite, but I'm a really rich, gigantic hypocrite. And yes, I'm a hypocritical hypocrite. And that's what I love about me.
I understand the criticism
Jay Monahan
I'm receiving around the hypocrisy and me being hypocritical, given my commentary and my actions over, you know, over the last couple of years. And as we go forward, as we went forward and we reached a compromise, you know, that was seriously, I mean, that was obviously one of my great considerations. But any hypocrisy, I have to own.
I would be, you know, you speaking of own, you have to be really rich to own that hypocrisy.
Money, money, money.
I'd like to announce I'm hiring a hypocrisy answering staff, and you'll have to go through them to get me to ever admit what I just admitted. Roy McIlroy said he feels, quote, like a sacrificial lamb, close quote, and he said it in his lilting Irish Lucky Charms accent. And because he's a guy that turned down $400 million because he didn't like the Live Golf League. And he said in a statement last night, I still hate them, but I'm going to golf, you know, for the hybrid PGA Live and see what happens and all that. So anyway, I respect the guy. You gotta. I mean, $400 million would give you quite a bit of money to buy a staff of hypocritical answerers. So you could say, talk to them. They're going to answer whether or not I'm a hypocrite. I'm paying him $250,000 to give you that answer. Back in a second, Tim Scott with a new ad. And the air quality of the East Coast has to be shoved down your throat or else you won't know how hard they have it. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
Oh, my, this is a noisy world.
KTTH, Brian Suits here. If you have to fool the firewall into you being in the UK if you want to watch Catching a Pervert, Sexual Assault for Sale on BBC Three, or you just go to Mark Zuckerberg's house and go to the middleman. As we're finding out that Instagram has a special pathway for pedophiles there. So there's, okay, are kids in the car? 7:30.
Just give them an appropriate trigger warning if they are.
There's a kind of man, and there's a kind of website, and it's interesting. I was just talking about Telegram being unfiltered. There's a Telegram group with 4,000 members who share tips on how to abuse women that don't want the attention, and not just when I say women, I mean. There's a Japanese group that sells videos of older men groping schoolgirls. And in Japan, there's a school uniform. It's that, you know, short dress and, you know, whatever, and white shirt. In Kill Bill, there was that Japanese assassin with the mace ball on a chain, and she was wearing it. Anyway, obscure reference, Thursday rolls on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to save this story for later. But yeah, I mean, what jumped out at me about it was, when I say Telegram is a Russian, you know, site, and it's, as far as I know, there's no limits on what you can put on there. My suspicions, not just violent war video, but I mean, what that story details, what that BBC show, Catching a Pervert, details. It also confirms that my curiosity in regards to how deviant Japanese men can be when left to their own devices has largely been satisfied. Here, and whatever you do when you get to work, do not Google vending machine Tokyo subway. There's a pro tip. You can thank me later. Well, here's the obligatory montage about New York air quality, starting with Mayor Eric Adams, who's already been inundated by illegal aliens, now illegal smoke from Canada. Take it away, Eric.
This is an unpredictable series of events, and we cannot provide guidance more than a day in advance at this point.
I can't even go to work, so we never had nothing like this. Like, it is so scary.
Please, if you can, we encourage everybody to stay inside. The best protection is to avoid going outside. We
have, and if you don't have to go somewhere, don't. Remember that advice always. Life is a series of unpredictable events. There's Deep Purple with Smoke on the Water, based on a true story. It's time for a full frontal Buttigieg because the ground stoppages continue on the East Coast.
Doing proactively today to get flights in the air as best you can.
Well, you know, FAA has a lot of experience dealing with low visibility situations. On a very regular basis, not only are there end of day and beginning of day coordination sessions at the center, sitting side by side with airline operators.
Yes, I think you'll find the FAA has a daily interaction with visibility being restored in the morning and then largely going away when the sun goes down. Thank you, Mayor Pete. That's why you are the Secretary of Transportation, and I'm just some guy.
But so, Brian, what is our recourse towards our neighbors to the north?
Well, you know what I do as a distraction whenever we're talking about infrastructure, I bring up, transgendered men.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. So there's that. So since Pete Buttigieg, who accused me of that yesterday, is making the announcement, LaGuardia, Philly, and Newark are grounded or delayed. And so if you're traveling by air today on the West Coast, it will be affected by hiccups on the East Coast. Man, I sure wish that Congress would honor RuPaul.
Mr. Speaker, the House Library is open.
Now, I rise to commemorate the start of Pride Month by honoring the one and only queen of drag, RuPaul.
And who, by the way, is doing, who's sponsoring this?
It's a guy named Robert Garcia, a Democrat from California, no. Of course.
Artist, a philanthropist, and a barrier breaker. RuPaul Charles has become an American phenomenon and an icon. Nobody has more charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Right. Than RuPaul Charles.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, as an entertainer, you know, I've never seen the show. I don't get the shtick, but my hat is off to RuPaul because he invented a brand, and wow, is he beating it to death and all the way to the bank. So good for him.
Not to be outdone, the California state legislature.
Wait, am I insulted? Am I wrong gendering him? If I say, wasn't he just saying him?
I can't keep track anymore. I don't know.
Wait, I think I caught him dropping some he's on RuPaul.
A philanthropist and a barrier breaker. RuPaul Charles has become an American phenomenon and an icon. Nobody has more charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Well, there you go. He did everything very gender neutral there, didn't he?
Did you see drag queen Sister Roma was honored in the California State Legislature?
Of course.
Everyone, I'm Scott Wiener. I have the honor of representing San Francisco and Northern San Mateo County in the California State Senate. And today we just completed our Assembly and Senate Pride Ceremony, where our LGBTQ Legislative Caucus honored a number of amazing community leaders from throughout the state. I nominated Sister Roma.
Roma, who I had never heard of.
LGBT.
Can I just say, Scott Wiener is one of the most deviant elected officials in this nation.
Oh, you're familiar with Wiener.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me? He sponsored a bill to codify that it's not rape for a man to be with a 17-year-old boy. I mean, a really, really, really loathsome individual in elected office in the way that only San Francisco could send someone to. So there's that
guy. The visual was quite striking with Sister Roma standing next to Wiener. Roma had on this blue feathery wig, full on face paint, and this black dress. As the viewer, we're supposed to take this seriously. I couldn't help but draw a comparison between Sister Roma and perhaps a Star Wars character. I'm telling you, the resemblance was uncanny. Seriously, we're supposed to be somber and solemn and reverential.
I know, for something that's inherently a send-up. You know, that's what the cabaret is and all that. And I recognize the talent and everything. But I mean, when Scott Wiener does it, he's dead serious. He's, and that you're probably a homophobe if you don't stand there, somberly and applaud appropriately, you know, or whatever. But total Wiener is Scott Wiener. So there's that. And so the East Coast in the throes, I say, of a genuine a hoo-ha. I would say there, every, including Fox. Fox is in the middle of Manhattan. You know, everyone is sticking the camera out and getting these dramatic shots of the red sunset and the whole thing. I don't know about the fidelity of the TV image, but as you go across New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, they don't like just take out the SD card from the camera and just put that on the front page. They work it. So I'm telling you, when they're putting up still pictures, a montage of still pictures on TV, they're working those. They're not using the food filter, is what I'm saying. And part of me is saying get over it. In the same way that the East Coast says get over it all the time to the West Coast, I'm just kind of saying just get over it. So it when I tell people that there's a drug vending machine and it's free for Narcan on Capitol Hill, they're more surprised the further they are from Seattle and Portland. Do they reduce drug use? Do people want them in their neighborhood? Well, in New York, it turns out they don't want them in their neighborhood. Harold Ford Jr. Chiming in on that when we come back. Meanwhile, in Seattle, we're going to just give away drugs July 1st and all that. So we'll hear from the Downtown Seattle Association about whether or not they still support the city councilman that, voted against gross misdemeanors for fentanyl, who represents downtown Seattle. That and more AM 770 KTTH.
Going to happen on the Brian Suit Show when we bust the lead out.
Oh, I know. It is time to put the Zep in your step with How Many More Times from Led Zeppelin 2, everybody. Sorry. I blame Steve Slayton for putting the Zep in my step. AM 770 KTTH. There's an outbreak here in the Pacific Northwest of parents who care about their kids. Parents who think that they should somehow have a say in who is the principal of their elementary. Here's an example of one of these wackos.
The lack of transparency, me sending my kid not knowing what's happening and letting these people decide whether it's safe for my child to be on.
So remember a cocaine principal from last week?
I do. There were two cocaine principals.
Cocaine husband and cocaine wife, and they're both cocaine principals. We know that they're cocaine principals because cocaine wife, in her extreme risk protection order, her ERPO, to get, you know, the guns away from her cocaine husband, she said, we've been doing recreational drugs on vacation for about a year. I mean, you know, that's someone smells the lawsuit.
What's a more formidable foe, cocaine bear or cocaine principal?
Well, the bear can't suspend you. The bear can't put you in detention.
Good point. It can gnaw off your face.
Yeah, but I'd rather have my face off than
detention.
Have to be after school and do math or something. But I'm being facetious. Obviously, this is outrageous that the incident with cocaine husband principal, the May 9th incident at the QFC in Redmond, and they're principals of two different elementaries. That's how that works. So he's spotted there. He is agitated, as agitated as a cocaine bear. And he has a gun visible in his hoodie pocket, you know, in the pouch in front. And he has white powder. Redmond police report that he has white powder around the nose and mouth. And it's not from the bakery, folks, unless he took it in the bakery and put it on a donut and then ate the donut and was cocaine donut guy. The parents didn't know. And cocaine principal wife was stayed at work for a couple of weeks. Cocaine principal husband, Mr. Griffin. Mr. Griffin's really agitated and energetic today. What's wrong? And I can't play one more minute of Foursquare, Mr. Griffin. They were not told the reason for his quick, unannounced, not like a vacation, his unannounced absence from the elementary school. So the schools, both schools, finally said to the parents, all right, we'll have an assembly, or we'll have a meeting. You can come and you can ask, like, those questions and whatever you parents have, about the environment at the elementary school where your kids are. I had a high school teacher who was pretty clearly, you know, in the bag by the afternoon.
Inebriated?
And he was intoxicated, which literally means shot by a poison arrow. We could smell it on him. And the word was out amongst the Rough Rider lazy that if you wanted a better grade, take an afternoon chemistry class from the guy. And because he graded on a different curve. He had the 9 a.m. curve. Don't be in that curve. Then he had the, 1 p.m. curve. And so it was known that this guy had a special lunch. He drank his lunch. Whatever. But it never affected his treatment of the kids. However, when the one time that I made a joke about it, my dad was PO'd that there was a teacher at the high school who was, some would say, I'm not a breathalyzer. I didn't make him, speaking of chemistry, I didn't make him breathe into a BAC meter. But he sure seemed to me like he was in a happier mood afternoon. And my dad was saying, well, have you ever seen him do it? Is the bottle, in there or whatever? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition. But anyway, here's these parents in Redmond who think they have something to say about the teaching of their kids.
Parents tell me they want those parents to get help, but red flags are being raised because while no legal case is being pursued against the couple, a very public event led to a paper trail spelling out the couple's drug use and one principal's drug-induced paranoia.
The lack of transparency, me sending my kid not knowing what's happening and letting these people decide whether it's safe for my child to be on campus without me knowing what's going on.
Uh-oh, the sound of the academically active immigrant American parent who is wondering how in the heck anyone would tolerate this.
That should have been my right.
In Redmond.
To know what I want to decide.
This mother's fed up. To understand why, we need to go back. Back to April 30th, when Michael Griffin, at this QFC in Redmond, suffered a very public meltdown. What police described as drug-induced paranoia. He had a gun, appeared to be high, and had white powder-like substance around his lips. It's all spelled out in this protection order meant to take Griffin's guns away.
And this is from his wife. This is from cocaine principal wife. Where she explains that, well, you know, there might have been some recreational drug use at one point on vacation, that, and we brought our vacation. We made our house a mini Mazatlan, or whatever. And I mean, this is where Brian's guide to school administrators would start on page one, express regret and humility. Reinforce that the parents are in charge, that the parents are, the first and last word on what their kids are around. And I mean, I got to say, what, you know, in other words, about a month went on before the parents were apprised that prior to April 30th and then the extreme protection order and all that May 9th, that Mr. Griffin may have been sampling the booger sugar in his office. They don't know if he's at the QFC with a gun and expressing that his wife, anxiety that his wife is being pursued or kidnapped or something. As a parent, I'm going to go ahead and assume the worst. I'm going to say that Mr. Griffin has been greeting the morning with his Bolivian marching powder, and then he has been in charge of our kids. Is this really, you know, I demand an investigation from the North Shore District and the whole thing. As a parent, that'd be the minimum. And also, I would want to know from the district, why would this all be going on still to this day, but for someone at the QFC in Redmond who said, hey, that agitated guy has white powder all around his nose and mouth and a gun visible in his hoodie, and then called Redmond police on it. What magical trap did that district have that would have stopped that? I wasn't party to the meeting, but many, many parents were, probably not every single one of them, because they figure, well, situation's over. But I want to know, where's your guarantee that there isn't a cocaine bear cub out there? And I don't know if teachers, law enforcement, and firemen do a entry whiz quiz, or is it random? Do teachers do a urinalysis? Someone out there, I'm sure, knows. I know that, you know, nurses have to every once in a while. I don't know about firemen. I don't know about police. My kid is not in ninth grade at the fire department. So I think I'll ask someone in my kid's district. Do you guys have to do a mandatory whiz quiz on a monthly basis? And what for cocaine? Do you test for alcohol? You know, I mean, obviously when you're off duty, and I don't know, is off duty for a teacher 5 p.m. or is it when the last bell rings? I mean, I don't think there's any.
They would tell you they're never off duty.
That's true. They're always teaching. And you know what? We're always learning. Hurt people hurt people. But I want to know, like, you know, I've seen teachers out with their families. We wave. You know, it's a different deal. But I'm assuming if you step on campus, you know, you don't have coke, alcohol, gun, you know, nothing. But I don't know that for sure. But I mean, I would want to know in this district, what were you going to do to catch a cocaine principal?
The same day, Sunrise Elementary staff were told Griffin was going on leave. At Sunrise Elementary,
did they do air fingers? He's going on leave.
The parents hadn't been told was why. It wasn't until last week that parents at Moreland Elementary were pulled into the fray when more information came to light, including that Griffin's wife, Megan, the Moreland Elementary principal, was admitting to police in writing that they've been using recreational drugs for the past year.
Huh?
Some of the parents only figured out through us or their own digging, which is why parents demanded these face-to-face meetings.
Yeah, I would be livid. If I'm reading this in the news and I'm going, oh, boy, that rings a bell. Oh, yeah, it's my kid's principal. Why am I hearing it on Q13 from that idiot on KTTH in the morning? I would be dressing in an ape suit, and I would bring a bucket of my own forbidden essence to throw as a metaphor, because that's crazy. So anyway, districts, if you're listening, don't do that. Don't do what North Shore did. Just assume if it's in the news, some of the parents, and I'm assuming that they all monitor Nextdoor app and all that, and you know what's going on amongst your student body. But you better know what the parents are saying about you guys. That's unacceptable. It goes on for, he's suspended. You don't even address it with the parents for a week. So there's that.
And parents walking away with varying opinions.
My personal opinion is common sense wise.
You think?
It seems appropriate that both principals could have been put on leave sooner.
And then maybe you could have been told when it happened. Anyway, back in a second, our third quarter in practice Friday rolls on. And hey, did you hear that it's smoky on the East Coast? If you haven't, you're supposed to have known this by now. And Portland has banned something. But while taking one step forwards, Portland still is 10 steps in the deficit, but they're doing something that we're not. And it's not to do with drugs, that's to do with nylon. That and more coming up right after this, AM 770 KTTH.